Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The midst of the year is the midst, is the season of investment. And we have heard this morning that we are going to reap what we have sown. It's the season of putting seed in the ground. Everyone that puts seed in the ground must wait for harvest. Your harvest will surely come.
Amen.
I said your harvest will surely come.
Amen.
Without a doubt, he said, and with it that went sowing, weeping, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Those who went about sowing, Psalm 126 and verse 6, he said, they will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If that is you, lift up your hands right now and just appreciate the Lord, God of righteousness. For I am awaiting my harvest. I've put seed in the ground in this season of sowing, and my harvest will surely come. My harvest will surely come. Speak to him right now. Appreciate him. Exalt him. Ask for your harvest to come speedily to the praise and to the glory of his name. Father, we thank you. We worship and adore you. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Again, you have seen this last Sunday of the seventh month. It is not by power, neither is it by might. It is by his mercies. It is by his mercies that we are not consumed. It's not because of our righteousness. There are better righteous people who may have gone right now. But he has kept us up until now. Not only has he kept you, you are not in the hospital, you are not in the jail, you are not in the mortuary. It is just by his grace that you are alive. Lift up those hands and appreciate him again. Father, thank you for your grace, for your mercy, that you have allowed me to see the last Sunday in the month of July, the last Sunday in the month of perfection. We give you praise, Lord. Give him thanks this morning. Give him praise this morning. Give him glory and give him honor. Give him all adoration and exalt his holy name. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory. We give you honor and adoration. We exalt your name for your faithfulness and your mercies. Give him thanks from the bottom of your heart. For all the testimonies we've heard, give him thanks. For all the testimonies we have heard, give him glory. For all the testimonies we've heard, magnify his name. Speak to him this morning. Speak to him this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus,
for the grace that you have given us. We
bottom of your heart.
Yeah. is that you are good, and all the miracles you've done has brought us joy.
Had 1,000 tongues is not enough to say thank you. If we had 1,000,000 tongues is not enough to say thank you. For all that you have done for us, for all that you have done with us, for all that you have done even for your church, individual lives, we say thank you. Blessed be your name. We know the remaining 4 months you will do more. And so we say thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness in our unfaithfulness, for your loving kindness, even when we falter, we say thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks. Celebrate him this morning if that is you. Congratulate him. Congratulate your neighbor on your right and left. Glory to God, and please be seated comfortably. This morning, we are going to be rounding off with the topic, Covenant Keys to All-Round Settlement. Because I know somebody will be settled today in the name of Jesus Christ. Covenant Keys to All-Round Settlement. And let's start by saying this morning, and by using the anchor scripture for this Sunday, for today, which is Matthew 11, 28 to 29. That is Jesus himself speaking there. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He said, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." That is simply talking about settlement. Jesus was saying, "Come to me, let me settle you. Come to me, let me take away all your labor, everything that is resulting or causing you unsettlement. Come to me, let me settle you." He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." He said, "You have struggled enough. Come to me, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Please take note, scripture is complete. Events of the past in scriptures are to guide our steps in the present. Scriptural events will guide our steps in the present and propel our steps into the future. Whatsoever we have seen in scripture in the past is for our guidance. It guides our steps in the present and propels it into the future. Jeremiah chapter 6, 16 to 17, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. It says, where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find what? Rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. In other words, whatsoever the old ways paves the way for the present and eventually results in the result of the future. It paves the way for the present and then results in the result of the future. Whatsoever result we are getting now is whatever we paid attention to yesterday. For example, whatever our spiritual present and future is a function of the prophecies of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Whatever our spiritual present and future is a function of the prophecies of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The new is the ripple effect of the old, which will result in the future. The new is the ripple effect of the old, which will result in the future. The new is the ripple effect of the old, which will result in the future. Romans 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Whatever is written for our learning, and what that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That means scriptures gives us hope. Whatsoever we see in scriptures is for our learning. It will propel us, it will guide us in the present, and it will propel us into the future. For example, Judah suffered when they were without the true God. That's what scriptures tells us. Judah suffered when they were without the true God. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 3 to 8. It says, now for a long season, Judah, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, and God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And then the verse 8 now, he says, and when Asher heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. That is, the dignity of Judah was restored when King Asher responded to the word. That's why Jesus said, come unto me. You have gone too far away from me. That's why you are not settled in any area of your life. Come unto me. He said, when they returned to God, it resulted in their settlement. Verse 19 of that same scripture. And there was no more war. In your life, you will be settled. In this service, in every department of your life, you will be settled. He said, and there was no more war until the 35th year. For 35 years, because they turned to the Lord, war ceased. That means the abominable things they were doing was the reason for their stagnation. Every time we abandon God, we suffer. Judges 17 and verse 1, he says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. In those days, again in Judges 17 and verse 6, he said, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 21 and verse 25, and in those days there was no king in Israel, and everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. When we believe what God says to do, and then we begin to do what we feel like doing, it results in imbalance. He says that's why they were not settled. Now, very quickly, what are the examples of the abominable things that unsettles us? Examples of abominable things that unsettles us. Number one is all manner of idols. All manner of idols. Wood, stone, iron, talisman. Those who have them know what they have in their homes. Those who have them know what they have in their pockets. Wood. That's the reason for your unsettlement. You can't worship God and mammon at the same time and expect to be settled. Why? Because God will never give his glory to another an idol. Wood, stone, iron, talisman. Many are calling back home to say, what can you do for me? Go to that man, go to that baba, go to that mama, go to that one, and what can they do for me? That is the reason for your unsettlement. Because you are not settled with God, you remain unsettled in every area of your life. Glory to God. But somebody's story is changing today. Abominable things. Number two, the God of gold. Exodus 24 to 5, it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Whatsoever takes the place of God as is gold. Anything that takes the place of God is God of gold. Exodus 32, 31, it says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, these people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Quickly, number three, serving money rather than serving God. Serving money rather than serving God. I said last Sunday, many have abandoned God, gave them jobs, but they are doing the job, but they have abandoned the God of the job. Money. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Anything that takes you away from the faith is God of money. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Serving money is an idol. Somebody saying, how am I serving money? You love money too much. Anything that has to do with money moves you. Anything. Anywhere you hear money like this, your antenna comes up. Is God of gold. Serving money is an idol. Some people can do anything for money. Anything for money. Luke 18, 25. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eyes than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of money, into the kingdom of God. When money is your priority, you have missed it. Who says money is not good? Money is good for even for the gospel. It's money. But when you hear money and then you forget about every other thing, it means money is the God you are worshiping. It's an idol, and no idol worshiper is permitted to see God. Number four. Serving for recognition rather than God cognition. Glory to God. Look it up when you get home, in your diary, in the dictionary. Serving for recognition rather than God cognition. If your service is tended towards recognition and not God cognition, it is an abomination. God says it is an abomination, it is not recognized. For example, a woman went to Jesus and made a strange demand. She said in Matthew chapter 20:20-21, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right and the one on the left in thy kingdom. The one on the right and then the one, that means, please recognize my children in this service. Serving for recognition is an abomination. He says, whatsoever you have done in service, if it is for recognition, it is eradicated. It is not acceptable. It is not recognized. Where people who are looking for recognition are not recognized in the kingdom. And then he began to clarify, your request, Jesus began to clarify, he said, your request is strange, and I have an idea why you are asking for that. And then he told the woman in verses 25-27, but Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great exercise, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Service is to serve the people. It is not to lord it over them. If everything and anything, you're coming and going in and coming in and going out right now, is to be recognized, it says it's an abomination. You are serving an idol of recognition. Number five, serving for position. It is an abomination before God. Serving for position. Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It is an abomination if service is all about position. There are people, when they are out of position, they are out of service. Out of position is out of church. Because for them, it's all about position. It's all about recognition. The day, you know how you will know if you are a true servant? The day the position stops, are you still serving? Are you still found there? Or now all of a sudden you are busy at work? Serving for position rather than serving God from their heart. Striving for position. That was what the mother of Zebedee's children was also doing in Matthew chapter 20:20-21 that we read. Striving for position will be out of genuine love, and it is abomination. If we are serving for position, it is out of genuine love for service, and it is abomination. Those who strive for position are politicians and not servants. Glory to God. Serving for position means you are a politician. Because when politicians are campaigning, they are everywhere. But the day they enter office, or the day they leave office, you don't hear them anymore. It means you are a politician and you are not a servant. Serving for position is manifestation of insecurity. Serving for position is also manifestation of low self-esteem. If you know who you are, you will not struggle to be who you already are. How many understand what God is saying? If you know who you are, you will not struggle to be who you already are. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, 25 to 27 that we read, Jesus said unto them, he said, no, it's because you want to be somebody, but that is already who you are. That's already who you are. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever will be chief, you are a born leader. You don't need manipulation or struggle to be one. It's already inside of you. You are a born leader. You don't need manipulation. You don't need to struggle to be one. Position is for a moment and it generates no reward. Why? But position seekers are easily forgotten. You know, many of us can't even remember the names of our governors in our state. No, some people don't even know the senators representing. Even here in Canada, you don't know who is who. Except you want visa for somebody. That's when you know this is your PM. Is it PM they call it? MP. Glory to God. You don't know because many of them are for service, on the other hand, is forever. Servants cannot be forgotten. Servants are not easily forgotten. Many wait for position to end. Others pray for servants to last. It is therefore time to begin to pray. And what are we praying? That whatever position, whatever recognition, whatever money, whatever the gold of gold, idol, that will take the place of God, get thee behind me, Satan. I didn't hear your amen. Say it again. Yeah. Now say this. Whatever position, whatever recognition, whatever money, God of gold, idol, that will take the place of God, get thee behind me, Satan. They are designed to take the place of God in our lives. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So what should we do? Verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we have mentioned shall be added. There will be no idols when we make God first. There will be no idols when we make God first. God will not take his place. Gold will not take his place. When we make God first, service will command money. When we make God first, we will know we are already recognized. When we make God first, position will mean nothing to us. For example, Judah decided to make God first, and the result was settlement. 2 Chronicles 15, we all know the scripture from verse 12. It says, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever will not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. They swore that whosoever will not serve genuinely, kill him, kill her. And what happened? The result in verse 15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with the whole of their desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them what? Rest round about. The Lord settled them. God will settle you today. That means genuine service will command settlement. Genuine service is not about serving God, but serving him alone. Genuine service is about serving God alone. That means service without motive. Serving God alone means service without motive. Exodus 24 to 5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. Exodus 24 to 5. All that is in the water under the earth, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. In other words, let not your service be laced with motive. Psalm 62 and verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for mine expectation is from him. When your service is not laced with motive, nobody can kick you out of service. No, because you're not serving for them. When your service is not laced with motive, nobody, no devil can kick you out of service. Can somebody kick you out of your job? Why? Because that is where something is coming from. Even when your boss tells you don't come again tomorrow, you say, sir, you don't understand. I have to come. When it comes to service, let it only be about God. Not you, not others. James 1, 6 to 8, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, a double-minded man is not settled. A double-minded man is not settled. You want settlement? Let your eye be single. How? Focusing on God in service. Not what anybody is doing. Not what anybody is doing by the side. Not what somebody is doing or not doing. Focus on what you are doing. And you'll be settled. Or put it like this. Making God first is what results in settlement. Look at this. When a man is, you know, when a man is getting married, he is asked a question on the altar. Do you denounce every other woman and make this woman your woman? He says, I do. And everybody's clapping. Glory to God. Now, and after the marriage, they say he has settled down. Am I making sense? Now, but if he says I don't, that means he's not ready to be settled. In the same way, nobody gets settled without denouncing every other God. Just like a man cannot say he's settled when he has others. When he has picked one, they said he has settled down. If you are still here and there and here and there, it means you are not settled. You want to receive settlement? Stick with God. Alone. Alone. Without adding anything to him. Now, take note. We are settled when we denounce every other thing, including self, to serve God. Isaiah 59 and verse 8, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. But for peace to come, we need to be focused. Psalm 119 and verse 165, it says, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. Did you see that? Nothing shall offend them. In other words, because of their focus, they can't be kicked out of service. Nothing. They can't be offended in service. Nothing shall offend them. Because of their focus, nothing shall offend them. And because nothing shall offend them, they are settled in service. But very quickly, as we begin to round up this morning, what are the covenant keys to accessing the realm of all-round rest, all-round settlement? I call them seven B's. Seven B's. Covenant keys to accessing the realm of all-round settlement. Number one is be born again and remain so. That simply means craving to please God as a way of life settles us. A crave to please God as a way of life settles us. John 3, 3 to 5, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except you are born again, you are not entitled to settlement. True settlement is not in the hands of the world. True settlement is in the hands of our God. True settlement is not in the hands of the world. True settlement is in the hands of our God. John 14, 27, he says, peace I leave with you. That is the one that will settle us. That's why he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and let me settle you. He says, peace I will leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. It's not in the hands of the world. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. To enjoy true settlement, we need to be born again. The world cannot settle us. True settlement comes by the Spirit. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. So the righteous are entitled to peace. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the foundation for our settlement begins with our foundation of our rebirth. The world gave birth to us, but the Spirit gave birth to us. Until we are reborn by the Spirit, we are not entitled to settlement. Those who are born by the world see unsettled, in an unsettled world, that's what they see. But when the Spirit gives birth to us, then we enjoy the settlement that only the Spirit can offer. May the Lord give you understanding. Somebody's going home settled today. Number two, be committed to righteous living. In other words, make the fear of God your way of life. Be committed to righteous living. Look at the reward of righteousness. Isaiah 32 and verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, assurance forever. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Everywhere you see peace in scriptures, it means settlement. Settlement results in peace. When Jesus made righteousness his way of life, the God that settled tabernacled with him. The God of settlement tabernacled with him. John 8, 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please him. And because he didn't leave me alone, I have settled in every department. Somebody will be settled in every area of their lives. And righteousness cannot be faked nor assumed. 1 John 3, 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Even as he is righteous, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. Number three, quickly. Be consistently in love with God. Don't be in love with him only when you need something from him. Be consistently in love with God. Lovers of God never end up as losers. John 14, 21 again, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Lovers of God can never be stranded. Even when it appears it is not working, it still works. It ends up working for lovers. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You naturally settle your lovers. Lovers don't need to ask for things from their lovers. They are automatically settled. They don't have to beg. That same way, God settles his lovers. Lovers don't beg God for things. It is not a guess. It is what we know. It is what we know. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. That means being in love with God consistently means being consistently settled. You are consistently in love. You are consistently settled. Somebody's going home settled today. Number four, be committed to living by the word. Be committed to living by the word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Take note, it is not hearing the word, it is living the word. Living the word. Living the word means you don't just trust the word, you do the word. You don't just trust the word. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Hearing that results in living. You know, there is what is called insider trading. How many have heard about it before? For those who trade, stock exchange and all that. There is what is called insider trade. It is illegal. Insider trading is illegal. But in the kingdom, it is legal. Insider trading is God simply showing you secrets. He already tells you. They are going to play soccer. He already tells you. For example, they are playing soccer. A1, we tell you this one. Is it A1? They call it or AI. They call it something, something. AI. AI will tell you, oh, this is the person that will win, and this is the score. This is going to be the score. The same way, that is insider trading. That thing can fail. It's not always true. So insider trading is God telling you in scriptures what's about to happen. He is telling you, everybody is investing in that thing, don't do it, though. Because it will soon crash. The day you put your money, that's the day it will crash. Don't do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Be committed to living by the word. You hear, you do, you live. Matthew 7:24-25. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He says, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Hearing that results in doing and ends up in living. Number 5, be committed to keeping your faith intact and growing. Be committed to keeping your faith intact and growing. Your faith should not just be intact, your faith should be growing. What the day where your faith stops is where your settlement stops. Be committed to keeping your faith intact and growing. Your settlement depends on your growth, your faith growth. The more you grow in faith, the more settled you are in every area. 2 Chronicles 20:20. It says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth and into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall ye stand. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Until your faith is in place, your settlement is not in view. Believe that only God can settle you and have faith that he will do it. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Your faith groweth exceedingly. Faith that commands rest, receive it today in the name of Jesus Christ. Faith is handing things over to the one that cannot fail. Hebrews 4:3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the earth, from the wall of the world. So the work had been finished long time. Believe it. Enter into it, and then you are entering into rest. Struggle is permanently banned from your tabernacle. Number 6, be committed to serving God alone and the interest of his kingdom. Service that is anchored on God alone results in settlement. When they started serving, God settled them. According to 2 Chronicles 15:12-15 that was read to us, service that resulted in their settlement. This service had nothing or persons to receive to service. This kind of service adds nothing adds nothing or adds no person to their service. That is the kind of service that receives settlement. Psalm 62 and verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Don't have an alternative in service. God alone is the rewarder. Never have any alternative. Nobody can pay you, not even the pastor. Not even the bishop can pay you in service. The one you are serving is the only one that can pay you. It is just a privilege to be serving here. He is the one that you are serving. He is the one that will pay you. So nobody should have a right to kick you out of service. May the Lord give you understanding. Psalm 16 and verse 4. It says, their sorrows shall be multiplied, that hasten after another God, that drink offerings of blood. Their offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Servants with motives never receive settlements. Service must only be about God. And finally, number 7, be thankful in season and out of season. Be thankful in season and out of season. There should be no season for thanking God and another for venting. It will result in stagnation. Every season should be seasons of thanksgiving. It doesn't matter what is going on. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thanksgiving brings the hand of God to bear, and inside the hand of God is power. That means when we engage thanksgiving, we are settled by the power of God. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Service that is filled with thanksgiving and rejoicing. Where even when things are not working, you are still thanking him, you are still dancing, you are still celebrating him. Still celebrating him in the midst of the storm. Why? Because you know that it will clear the storm. You know, you have the faith that storm will be cleared out. And after we have done the will of God, we need patience for settlement. Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Everyone that requires to be settled, do all 7 things. And see settlement beginning from this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We are not ignorant of our season of visitation. This is our season of visitation, and God will visit someone. I said, so God will visit someone. God will visit somebody here this morning. Luke 19:44, he said, shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of. This is our time of visitation. Between now and the end of the year, God will be visiting everyone every day. God is doing great things in the lives of the members of this great assembly, and he will yet do more. There are so many testimonies cooking right now. So many. Is your own there? Then let me hear your amen. There are testimonies we can't even share now, but we should be hearing shortly. Glory to God. Hebrews 3, 7 to 8, therefore, he said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Your testimony will be part of the testimonies that will be shared shortly. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. If that is you, rise up on your feet. Give God thanks this morning. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. We give you honor and we give you all adoration. Celebrate him. Lord, we thank you. Celebrate the Lord. Celebrate the Lord this morning. Magnify his name and exalt him. Father, we thank you. Blessed and blessed and blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. In Jesus' marvelous name, we've given thanks. Remember, to be settled begins with being born again. You were given to battle by the world, but you need to cross over to the spirit realm. That's where settlement is. True settlement is not in the world. As a matter of fact, the world will add more to your woes, but the spirit will settle you. When you come into the spirit, he settles you. Somebody needs to come into him this morning to be settled. You have heard all those things, but it begins with running to him, running to the King of Glory. And don't let any man or anything stop you now. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. You are one of the people I'm talking to right now. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be born again. Somebody else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate my life to you. Why not this morning put your right hand on your heart wherever you are? Let me pray with you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you if you're doing that. The Lord bless you. Put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you and for you. And if you are doing that, repeat these words with me after me very quickly. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today. Just as I am, I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. In Jesus' precious name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them, the same grace will preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards and bear fruit upwards to the praise and glory of your name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These ones will be supernaturally settled from now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Well, you said that prayer on ground. Wave your hands to Jesus Christ. Church, I thought you are clapping. The Lord bless you, my brother. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Wave that hand again to Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you, my brother. You said that prayer online. Take a look at that number that has been displayed right now and send us a message. Someone will also be getting in touch with you very quickly. God bless you. Put those hands together for the Lord. Somebody that is settled, congratulate your neighbor for me on your right and on your left. If you have received your settlement this morning, congratulate your neighbor for me. On your right and left, tell your neighbor you are eternally settled. In every department of your life, you are going home settled. In every area of your life, in the name of Jesus Christ, every unsettled area of your life has been reversed to settlement. In Jesus' marvelous name. Put those hands together for the Lord. Congratulate yourself now.